nice, good singing tonight, church. I trust you had a good afternoon in the Lord, and I'm glad to see all of you that have come back this evening. Be in prayer for those that are still traveling and on vacation. You that will be leaving this next week, please be careful, enjoy yourself, and come back ready to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all diligence. Good to have visitors with us tonight. We have missionary Brother Scotty Rackley here with us, missionary to Madagascar. When he introduced himself to me, he said, Madagascar, I thought he was fooling with me. I thought that was a Disney place, a movie. So I had to go check the map. I'm not lying. My daughter said, Dad, no, that's an island off the east of Africa. I thought he was running around New York chasing giraffes and all that. Good to have you here with Brother Rackley. Thank you for visiting with us. I trust the Lord bless you as you are finishing out your deputation, and I did learn something today. There is a real place called Madagascar. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter number 11. We'll finish, continue in our studies of the book of Mark, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Don't forget, tomorrow morning we'll be leaving at 10:30 bus with the bus camp kids on the bus, so please be in prayer for that, for the bus safety. And at 7 o'clock every evening, please pause and pray for the Holy Ghost of God to be dealing with our kids and helping Brother Corn as he preaches to the junior campers this week. So please do that. Put it on your calendar. Send yourself an email, a text, whatever you have to do to remind yourself that we need prayer. 7 o'clock every night this week. That would be a blessing there. Just on a side note, Brother Victor, when you drove this morning the bus, did it leak on that one side? Praise the Lord. Brother Jacob's at work. And it rained pretty good this past week, so it should have leaked. That's a blessing. Remember about praying, what I asked you to pray about Wednesday night. Everybody in the sermon, I ask everybody to please pray, ask God, if it be okay with him, if you were to pass out one gospel tract a week. Serious prayer now.
Amen.
Ask God, Lord, would it be okay with you? Because he said in Acts 1:8, I'm not going to rehash it, but ask and see if you can't be obedient to that. And then I also ask that you please ask God to give you boldness and power, one person a month, that you'll personally talk to about Jesus.
Amen.
Once a month. Well, preach, that's just a small amount. You've got to start somewhere.
That's right.
You've got to start somewhere. God blesses, I'm telling you, he blesses outreach. If you want to find a church that's dying, you find one that don't reach out their community. It's that simple. I don't mean to be mean and disheartening to you, but you got to reach outside these doors.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. We love transfers in. We love folks when they move into the community, find our church, and they get keyed in. As a matter of fact, tonight after church, we had a family going to join. We appreciate that. We're glad that they feel confident that they can be a part of what's going on. But the lifeline is new blood.
That's
right. Souls. Amen. So we've got to be faithful to do it. We've got to. So y'all pray and ask God to do that. And then I ask you one more prayer request. Preach, you've asked us to pray about a whole bunch of stuff this week. I said, yeah, I know. But that's a horrible thing to talk to God. I don't even know why I suggest such a thing. But anyways, how you don't talk to him and you're saved and he walks around inside of it. Okay. One other thing I said, pray about, God, we have a missions program at the church. Now, our church has it budgeted in. We have a budget that counts for 10% of our mission program, but there's others who give a one-time offering, a monthly offering, a weekly offering, a yearly offering. I'm asking, Lord, pray to him, Lord, what kind of offering would you have me to give towards our mission program so that we can increase and enlarge our coast? Just pray about it.
Amen.
All right? So we've got five things we're praying about as a church this week, plus our prayer list. All right, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 1, we're going to read verses 1 down through verse 11. We'll continue through our verse-to-verse studies and see if we get that far. If we do, get down to verse 11, that's fine. If we don't, we'll pick up next week. Let's go, verse 1, Mark chapter 11. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage, now Bethphage was a place that they grew a lot of figs around there. And Bethany was a place where they had dates and all kind of stuff growing around there, the house of dates there. And then at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye enter into it, you shall find a colt tied there whereon never man set. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosen the colt? Verse 6, and they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. Just let me pause there for a moment. This thought just came to my mind. And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. You remember back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve was there, and the serpent came wandering by, and then, and God said, the serpent said to Eve, you know, something of this effect, yea, hath God said, and then she added to the word of God. It caused a whole bunch of trouble, didn't it? I mean, we've had a whole bunch of trouble since then. Now, these folks, I don't know about in this time and age, but I know when the Wild Wild West was going on, if you lose somebody's horse and started walking off with it, that was a hanging thing. Here they just told them exactly what the Lord commanded, and they just let them go. So just side note, speak what Jesus would say. And let Jesus, he's omniscient. He knows everything. Matter of fact, you notice this little thing going on here. I didn't pause, now I got to keep going. This little thing that's going on here. He's coming into Jerusalem, you know, approaching Jerusalem from the east there, and he goes to Bethphage, and there's Bethel up on the Mount of Olives, where it's located just a short distance east of Jerusalem there. And Mount Olives, you could look down and the whole city. You could see the temple area and the foreground of it. And you know, it's according to commentaries, I've never been over there to Israel, so I don't know. According to commentaries, it's a beautiful viewpoint when you're looking down off the Mount of Olives there. And he says to his disciples, hey, go on down there to the village. There's going to be some crossroads. Where the crossroads meet, there's going to be a colt. No man's ever sit upon this coach is going to be there. Now think about that for a minute. Not every day you walk around with a horse or a coat or a mule or a donkey that has never been broken. Think about it. You just don't walk through town. Come on here. Mules and donkeys are, generally speaking, they're pretty stubborn. Now this is one that nobody's ever even sit upon. I had this pause. I had to get going, Brother Ben. I can't even read no further. It's in there like a fire. Come on. Amen. How in the world? Because he's God.
Right.
He said, there's going to be a donkey that somebody's going to bring in, tie up over there, and you're going to get to a crossroads. Let me ask you something. In your lifetime, you ever felt like a donkey? Stubborn.
Amen.
Good. Mule-headed. And at a crossroads, and didn't know which way to go. This is an amazing story to me. This is amazing what's happening right now. Because God knows there's no prearrangement. He didn't send a text message over there to old John Boy up on the hill of Mount Olives, hey, take your donkey down there. He didn't email it. There wasn't no tweeting. He didn't send the horse over horses. They'd come with the mail. Pony Express? That wasn't no Pony Express. Took off up through there and brought another letter. He's God. He knew there'd be somebody The donkey had to have, it had to be a problem getting it there. You ever had a problem that you just couldn't get to the Lord? And you just gave up at the crossroads? Perhaps there was some that came around and you're trying to unloose this donkey so you can get it to the Lord. You're trying to get the problem over there and they say to you, you know, what you doing?
Right.
There's always those that want to ask you, what you doing?
That's right.
What you doing? And the Lord had given some instructions. Isn't it amazing? Just tell them, the Lord has use of the donkey. I don't know about it. Listen, tomorrow when somebody knocks on your door, hey, I need your keys to your car. What for? The Lord has use for it. Are you going to give up your... Then maybe you're not seeing this. Amen. But this is what I'm seeing. How did this man just turn loose of a donkey that had never... No man ever said. Now you got two disciples. Now tell me where most of the disciples came from. They weren't donkey farmers. Now they got to lead this donkey that no man has ever sat upon, and they got to get it from that crossroads to Jesus. That's amazing. Let me tell you something. You get to that crossroad, and your problem's tied up there. There's one way. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. Crossroads got a crossroad. That's one way this way, one way this way. It's a crossroad. Where two places meet, they come across. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life.
Right.
No man come to the Father but by me. We talk about that in salvation so much, and it's so true. It is absolutely true. There's no other way. There's no other name. Given unto man whereby man must be saved. That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesus alone that hung on the cross of Calvary. He is the only way. There is not, you know, many different ways, and He's the best of the different ways. He is the only way.
Amen.
Dear friend, He's the only way to have access to God.
Right.
Because of what He's done for you.
Amen.
You have access.
Amen.
To the throne room of God. The Lord has you spoken. And they just turn them loose and let them go.
Yeah.
Verse 7. And they brought the coat to Jesus and cast their garments on Him. And He sat upon it. Many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strove them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he, blessed be the kingdom of our father David, cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the evening time was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to go past this, but here's another side note to get us ready for next week. He's in the temple. Two verses down, he comes back and he flips everything upside down.
Right.
Runs them out. Chases them out. What it says there, verse 15, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them. They didn't just show up that day. They were there. When Jesus came to the temple, He saw them. You know, the sad part about this is that they were set up outside where the court of the Gentiles was. There's a spot that only the Gentiles could come in. But they couldn't go no further. And this is where they would sit up. Jesus come riding down, come down up into there. Ride this donkey. Colt, where no man has ever sat. And he goes up and he begins to look around. You don't think the righteous indignation didn't start stirring up? He left. What does that teach us? Be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. I'll tell you, sometimes we show up on scene and we see something that's going on, and before we know it, we done blowed the top and kettle done burst off. The scene didn't change. Came down, that's what about verse 11, let's read it again. And Jesus entered Jerusalem into the temple. When he had looked round about upon all things, now the evening tide was come, he went out into Bethany with 12. Let me ask you this question, just talking, that's all we're doing right now, just spend a little time talking together. Was it any more sinful what they were doing two verses later than what they were doing then? When he come in and he looked around? Was it any more right? Did you think just two verses later it all of a sudden became bad? Remember, Jesus did this twice. A lot of us forget that. In his early ministry, Jesus flipped things upside down in the temple. Now again, towards the end of his earthly ministry, and guess what he does again? Well, what's the difference? Why didn't he do it in verse 11? He's trying to teach us a lesson. Trying to teach us, trying to show us. The Bible says it like this, the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. You know, the Bible says this, that if a man cannot control his spirit, he's like an unfortified wall, city. In the book of Proverbs. Be careful. How many of you have heard half of what, maybe you didn't hear nothing, maybe you just saw what appeared to be something and then it really turned out to be nothing, but you blew your fuse like that. He came in. All right, now he's up there in verse number 7. They done got the donkey there. The colt's there. Jesus is there. This part I understand. This doesn't confuse me at all. The other part about the guy bringing a coat, maybe he was going to sell it. I don't have an earthly idea why he brought a coat in. Maybe he was showing off. I don't know. But he brought him in. He didn't ride him in because no man ever set upon him. That's what the Bible says. And he brought him in. There he is. And the disciples are able to lead him off. And he's not, causing any problems or heartache. At least the Word of God don't say so. Now maybe they may have fought that thing all the way back. I don't know. But in this part, so, well, preacher, the owner bringing him and the disciples, that was the easy part. Riding an unbroken animal is the hard part. Not if you're Jesus. He's God.
Yeah.
Just think about how wild and unbroken and untamed you were.
That's it.
Just think about your own self. I can think back. When I got saved, Brother Johnson, I was an awful, awful mess. And Jesus come and just sit down upon me, eased me, convicted me. I trust in my personal Lord and Savior. From the heart outward, I begin to have a change. So Jesus sits down on the donkey after, this is another one, they cast their garments on him. So here's this, no man's ever said, I'm not a cowboy, I've never owned a horse, my daughter, she desires with all of her heart to have a horse. But I keep telling her, they're expensive hobbies. All you do, if you don't ride them every day, all you're doing is spending money on feed. But that, I'm not one, so I don't know. I watch a lot of Westerns. I like Westerns. And I've seen them break horses. They throw them off. I like rodeos. I go to rodeos in Bronx. Boy, they bunking around all that. You're trying to get just a saddle, or maybe a nice blanket up on the horse. And he's not having it.
Right.
Here, the Bible says they took off their garments. That's plural, isn't it? Cast their garments on him They cover up the donkey with all their garments. And he just sits still and let the Lord get up on and sit. Just let the Lord just get up on there and sit. Now I know this about animals is that if you get them around a big confusion and fuss and loud noises and they're not used to it, they get a little skittish. They just, he don't know the disciples. He don't know this. He's not familiar with Jesus. Now they done put coats all on him. Now they're coming down into Jerusalem, and guess what all the other folks are doing? The Bible says all the other folks started taking off their garments, throwing them out in the road, getting some palm bushes, swinging them, throwing them out in the road. The donkey just keeps going.
Right.
All the fuss, all the confusion. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. Crying out. And the donkey just keeps going. Calm as he can be. May I say this to you? The world around you may be in a storm, confusion, and an uproar. But Jesus will keep you calm.
Amen.
In the middle of your storm. And he's coming. Now, of course, if you go back and you used to get into the Old Testament, you can understand what's going on right here. Right here, what's going on is they're declaring Jesus King of Israel. And he isn't disputing it. He didn't say, hold up. You remember over when Paul and Barnabas was over there and they threw him up on their shoulders and began to call out, God's this, God's that. They put a little protest up after a few minutes. One Saturn, one was the other one. What was the other one? Jupiter? Mercury and somebody. And hey, hold up. We're just being like you. Jesus did not dispute it at all. There's nothing in here that Jesus discouraged. Why? Because he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the King of Israel. This is following a pattern that the nation of Israel has done with for a long, long time. Here, I'll show you. Give you an example. Go over to 2 Kings chapter 9 real quick. 2 Kings chapter 9. Verse 12. They said, it is false, 2 Kings 9, 12. Tell us now. And he said, thus and thus spake he to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then they hasted, took every man his garment, put it under him and on the top of the stairs and blew a trumpet saying, Jehu is king. It's common practice. This is a matter of practice throughout the nation. It was recognizing him as king of Israel. And here he comes. Matter of fact, they're quoting from the Messianic Psalms 118. Whenever you read that, go study out Psalms 118. That's what they're doing. And they're declaring him king. And he does not at all resist the accusation. When was the last time you just simply declared him king? He is King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah, He is. And your declaration of that day by day doesn't change the fact. But let me help you with this. Neither does your non-declaration change the fact.
Right.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who's King of your life? Who's the Lord of your life? Maybe you're not even saying it. Maybe it's just the things that you put before you that rule and reign your life. So why are you going to say it, preacher? Well, I believe if you practice saying it, it might hinder some of the false idols you put in front of you because you're constantly reminding yourself that is King of Kings. Lord of Lords. Not that hobby, not that job, not that career, not that class, not that girl, not that boy. He is King of Kings. Lord of Lords. There's a lot more that you can go on around here and study throughout it and get down deep into it. But what's happening? I'll tell you what's happening real quick. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. All this, and Jesus didn't dispute it, but something is fixing to take place in this week in Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. The Bible says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." You remember last week I told you, I told his disciples, "I'm fixing to be turned over to the priest. The priest is going to arrest me. They're going to scourge me. They're going to beat me. They're going to turn me over to Gentiles. I'm going to die." He's fixing to be for us. The Passover's coming. This is what's happening. And he comes down on that donkey and all that racket, all that noise. You know what's the amazing thing? I don't see one time where he hopped off the donkey. I look through there. The donkey ain't never mentioned again. This is, it goes on. They're crying out. Blessed, verse 10, "Blessed be the kingdom of our father David. Cometh the name of the Lord, Hosanna the highest." And Jesus entered to the temple. I'm assuming that at the temple he got off, tied it to a little rope or something, little thing there, went into the temple, looked around, and then it says he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Who can tell me who lived in Bethany? There's two sisters and a brother. Perhaps he went over to visit old Lazarus for a little bit. But the donkey's never, ever heard of again. No way. Let me ask you this. Does it bother you that after Jesus uses you as a vessel of honor, that you don't get an attaboy? You don't get propped up, patted on the back? Does it irk you a little bit that you don't get recognized for being the vessel of honor? Just remember, an untamed donkey was rode into town by Jesus and never mentioned again. You've got a new name written down in heaven. And he's going to call you home one day and say, "Well done. If you've been faithful, thou good and faithful servant." You're not forgotten. Not forgotten at all. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I ask you to forgive us where we failed you. Thank you, Lord, for the study of the book of Mark, for the pictures, for the inspiration, Lord, for the encouragement. Lord, seeing how you used an untamed donkey to ride upon. God, we ask you, use us. And help us, Lord, not to be worried about who gets the glory. Because you are King of Kings. You are worthy. God, if we come to that crossroads, help us to unloose that problem. Come to Jesus. Find the answers. Find the help we need in the time of trouble. In Jesus' name, amen.